Sarah, let's start with what appears to be a rapidly escalating Middle East crisis. Iran's foreign minister has issued what can only be described as an ultimatum, warning that any Israeli attack on Beirut would trigger a full-scale war. This comes just days after Trump announced what he called a U.S.-brokered ceasefire in Lebanon.
The situation is even more complex than that ultimatum suggests, Marcus. We're seeing a complete breakdown of diplomatic coordination. The IDF chief, Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir, has openly declared no ceasefire in Lebanon despite that supposed U.S.-brokered truce. Israeli strikes killed at least 9 people in Lebanon on Wednesday, just 2 days after Trump's announcement. This suggests either the ceasefire was never real, or it's already collapsed.
And then we have this bizarre information warfare component. CENTCOM is publicly calling Iran a liar about striking a U.S. destroyer in the Gulf of Oman. It's extremely unusual for military command to use such direct language. This suggests either Iran is manufacturing incidents for propaganda purposes, or there's such deep mistrust that even factual claims are being disputed.
The Strait of Hormuz situation adds another layer of complexity. Trump is now saying the blockade could last all summer, which would be economically catastrophic. We're already seeing Greek shipping moguls saying they'd rather pay Iran toll fees than deal with a complete closure. That tells you how dire the shipping industry views this situation. They're willing to legitimize what amounts to piracy rather than risk total shutdown.
From a market perspective, Marcus, the Pentagon is already facing $1 billion in unplanned fuel costs as gas prices are reshaping American spending patterns. If this blockade extends through the summer, as Trump suggests, we're looking at potential energy price spikes that could derail any economic recovery. The administration seems to be betting that Iran will blink first, but that's an enormous gamble.
What's particularly concerning is how Secretary of State Rubio is handling this diplomatically. He's saying Iran must reopen the Strait of Hormuz before any nuclear talks can advance. But he's also laid out a two-phase framework tying sanctions relief solely to Iran's nuclear program. That's essentially two conflicting demands. End the blockade with no concessions, but also negotiate on nuclear issues.
The domestic political implications are significant too. We're seeing leaked audio from Iowa, where there's worry about Iran war fears affecting Republican primary outcomes. Ashley Hinson won the Iowa Senate primary, but the fact that Iran war concerns are leaking into Republican primary discussions suggests this is becoming a major political liability for the Trump administration.
And we can't ignore the Ukraine connection here. While attention focuses on the Middle East, Ukrainian drone strikes are hitting St. Petersburg, while Zelensky says he's ready to meet Putin. This creates a two-front diplomatic challenge for Washington, managing escalation in both the Middle East and Eastern Europe simultaneously.
The timing of all this is particularly problematic. House Speaker Johnson is facing expiring surveillance powers, war powers votes, and missed funding deadlines with just a razor-thin majority. Conducting foreign policy during a domestic legislative crisis is challenging under the best circumstances.
What we're witnessing is the breakdown of traditional diplomatic channels. When military commanders are publicly calling foreign governments liars, when ceasefires collapse within 48 hours, when blockades are threatened for months, these are signs of diplomatic system failure. The question becomes whether any of these parties actually want to de-escalate, or if they're all committed to escalation.